Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. How marvelous to welcome you, St. Margaret's. Thank you for coming out into the cold, but hopefully into the slightly warmer atmosphere of the church. Great to see you. And thank you, Luke and Nate and Alex, for leading us in worship. Thank you particularly, Luke, because he only got booked last night because Chris has gone down with the type of flu that means he can hardly move out of bed. So Cliff, having gone home to his grandson's birthday party, found himself immediately ringing round worship leaders throughout Europe, really. Well, throughout zones 1 to 4. And Luke, you were brilliant to respond, so thank you. May I read a few verses from 2 Timothy 1? We're running, of course, behind our time, but possibly not behind God's. But as you work in our time, I won't be at all offended if you have to dash out in the middle of the talk. To Timothy chapter 1 and beginning at verse 8. Paul writes, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who's destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The story will be missed out, and we'll go straight into the meat of the talk, which probably most of you will be relieved by, really. But I know how easily any of us can duck opportunities about standing up and acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us probably can imagine how Timothy's heart must have sunk when he read the sentence at the start of this section. "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner." Timothy was not instinctively a risk taker, not naturally an evangelist or apologist. And although he wouldn't have been ashamed of either the Lord Jesus or of the Apostle Paul, he would, on the whole, have preferred to keep his head down in most situations. And Paul was realistic about this, realistic about everyone, apart from himself, sometimes feeling like that. In verse 15, he writes about all that's happened to him. "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes." He would have heard of how the disciples deserted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how Peter, the boldest of them all, had denied knowing him in the garden of the high priest's house. And all that would explain why Paul was so unequivocal about not being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and why he hammered it home in the rest of verse 8. "But join with me," he writes to Timothy, "in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." But having written all of that, he explains to Timothy, it's not a question of gritting our teeth and going through it. He simply points to Jesus and all he's done and reminds Timothy that our call is to live our lives in response to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And Paul highlights three things that Jesus has called us to and sees in us. First of all, Jesus values us, as we see in verse 9 and the first part of verse 10. God had planned from the beginning of time the salvation that has been made available in the Lord Jesus Christ. It sprang from a generous love at the heart of God, and it was costly because he took his son Jesus to the cross. But God considered we were worth it, that you and I were worth all of that. Paul wanted Timothy to feel valued by God And Jesus Christ wants us to feel the same. And he would ask us, do we feel valued by him? You're valued, he says. You're free, as we see in verse 9, we're called to a holy life, free to respond to the grace of God and his call, freed to be holy, to be distinctive, freed from being enslaved to other people's opinions or the habits, the attitudes, addictions that might grip us. We can live differently. We can be free. We just need to be honest sometimes about what leaves us feeling trapped. He says, you're valued, you're free, and you should be confident, he says, in the second part of verse 10. The future is guaranteed because of the cross and resurrection. That would have made a lot of difference to Paul as he awaited his own execution. And of course, our situations are very different. But most of us from time to time will have felt anxious about the future. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to feel confident. Of course there'll be difficulties. Of course there'll be disappointments. But because of Jesus, we can feel confident, valued, free, and confident. That's what he wants to renew in you and me today. I wonder what particularly we need help with, what exactly we want the Holy Spirit to do.